Welcome to The Honest Report, a weekly podcast analyzing media coverage of the Arab Israeli conflict, anti-Semitism, and radical Islamic terrorism.
They attacked by air, land, and sea, taking Israel by surprise during a major Jewish holiday. Now, 13 and a half hours after Hamas launched its audacious assault, Israel says it's at war.
Israel is at war. We didn't want this war. It was forced upon us in the most brutal and savage way. But though Israel didn't start this war, Israel will finish it.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says when it comes to destroying Hamas, quote, nobody will stop us.
Here's your host, Rob Walker.
It's a fact largely ignored by anti-Israel activists that 20% of Israel's population are Arabs, largely Muslim. They enjoy the same democratic rights as Israeli Jews, can vote and stand for election, and hold citizenship just like Israeli Jews. The Bedouin of Israel's south are part of this population, but they are unique in their own right, distinct from the Bedouin in Israel's north, distinct from the Druze community in Israel, and it goes without saying, from the Jewish majority. In this week's podcast, we are joined by Ariel Wiesel, the co-CEO of Desert Stars. Desert Stars is an Israeli organization that works to promote and provide educational, vocational, and other opportunities to members of Israel's Bedouin population in the country's south, and in so doing, to help further integrate them into Israeli society, benefiting them and Israel at large. Welcome to the Honest Report podcast. Ariel Wiesel, welcome to the Honest Report podcast.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you. We were, of course, supposed to have this conversation months ago, before October 7th, about Desert Stars and about the work that you're doing in the Bedouin communities in southern Israel, bringing Jews and Bedouin together. Obviously, now here we are months later. How has your work changed over the last half a year almost?
Yeah, so we have tough days in Israel for a few months, and me in personal, I was 90 days in military service in duty, and all of the Jewish employment, most of the Jewish also went to military draft, so we had a really tough days. And I think the good news in our organization on those days that we work together. So when the Jewish went to do whatever we need to do, so the Bedouin employees continue and holding the organization and holding everything. This is one part. The other part that we try to do is we're working to make leadership youth Bedouins. And youngest, we want them to take responsibility on the Bedouin society. And also in the emergency hours and the emergency days, so leadership is the answer. So what we try to do is to make a lot of leadership activities and a lot of activities that helps the Bedouin community in during these tough days. So for example, we had with another many organization a big important project to give bomb shelters to the Bedouin villages in the Negev. And we trained 1,500 volunteers to make the first aid training in those villages. So we make a lot of activities that helps the Bedouin society during those tough days.
And now the Bedouin community in Israel is very distinct from the larger Arab community in Israel. It is also distinct from the Druze community in Israel. Help our listeners understand a little bit who the Bedouin, particularly in the south, are, how they live, what the relationship is like to the state of Israel.
Okay, so in 1948, when Israel established, there was in the Negev, after 48, after the war in the Negev, 10,000 Bedouins. Nowadays, we have 300,000. So the society, the Bedouin society are really religious and really every family has a lot of children. I mean, it's much more biggest children, like the Israeli average. And also, I can say that the feel of Israelis, the feel of belong of the state of Israel, really changes in the last 20 years. In the beginning, I mean, they feel part of the Israeli society, part of Israeli state. And after 2 decades, I think with many reasons. One reason is that Israeli government for years is not make enough for the Bedouin society. This is the one reason. The other reason is that there is a big problem of inside leadership inside the Bedouin society. So those two main reasons make the Bedouin society for general to feel less and less part of the Israeli society, less part of the Israeli state. And this is one thing. The other thing is that the Bedouin in the Negev, they don't feel part of the Arab Israelis of the Triangle, of the center of Israel, of the north. I mean, it's different story. In the historical, they coming from the south, from Arab Saudi and from Egypt, and they feel like they are the real Bedouins, the authentic Bedouins. And they don't have any connection of the Arab of the other Arabs society in Israel.
So tell us about some of the work then that Desert Stars is doing, recognizing, you know, there's a problem, but there's also an opportunity. How does your organization help to integrate and create this sense of leadership and responsibility among Bedouin youth?
Okay, so another interesting fact on the Bedouin society, they are a really young society. I mean, 50% of the Bedouin in the south, in the Negev, 50% of them under the age of 16. So it's really young population. And for us as an educational organization, it's really a good opportunity. So there is a lot of youngest that we can work with. And we decided 10 years ago when Desert Star established that the main issue is to establish new generation of youngest Bedouin that will take responsibility on themselves, on the Bedouin society, and will feel part of this Israeli thing. And we try to make it happen by education tools and by education programs. And we have a big process which beginning in the age of 14 in our high school, and we going hand by hand with our graduates after they finish high school. We have gap years. It's like a college before academic studying. It's a leadership programs for young men and women separately. And we talk a lot about knowing what they can do to the Bedouin villages and inside the Bedouin society, how they can improve things, how they can take responsibility. We help them prepare to the academic study, the next level. 80% of our graduate going to academic, and they're studying a lot of device subjects. And after that, we help them to get to the real world, to the adults world, to get their first job. Nowadays, we have like 400 alumni, which coming from all the villages in the Negev. And this is another thing that we try to establish like a new multi-tribe of the Negev, which in the Negev there are a lot of families, a lot of tribes, and sometimes they cannot be in connect, and they even don't know each other. And our new multi-tribe, our new Desert Star tribe, we are for purpose taking them from all over the tribe, because we want them to be the next leader, the next principal in high school, the next mayor, the next leadership inside the villages.
Now, in the work that you're doing is against a backdrop of significant unemployment and poverty in the Bedouin community, the Negev. Help us understand a little bit how significant the economic challenges are.
Yeah, so the Bedouin society, as I said before, they are really poor society. All the villages in the Negev are in the state of one. From 1 to 10 in Israel, we have this economic situation of the villages and of the cities. 10 is the highest, is the much like the most better situation. All the Bedouin are in the level of one.
So what is the recipe for success then? Is it specific job training? Is it a sense of self-confidence and self-worth? Is it a sense of belonging as part of Israeli society in general? I mean, what in your mind are the most important elements that is that are holding Bedouin society back from achieving what it can in Israeli society, and consequently what can allow it to succeed.
Yes, I think all what you just say are part of it. I think that we have a really good experience of working together, Jewish and Bedouins. I mean, I am now co-CEO of the stand, and I have co, which is Bedouin. He was the mayor of Rat, his name is Faiz, and we are working together, and we have this co thing, Jewish and Bedouin are together all over the organization. We really believe in our students, in our youngest. We really make them work hard. There is no shortcut. I mean, they really need to work hard. They really need to believe in the shared society and working together, Jewish and Bedouin, and also look in the future how we can continue together. Even now, we have really conflict and really have tough days, but we can look and we make them to look in the future, and we have to do it. And I think that we have also the community behind us. I mean, also the main Arab and the main Arab Bedouins, they know us, and they know our alumni, and they know that what we try to do is for them and to make them take the responsibility and make them make their places and their villages in much better place. This is what we try to do.
Have the events of October 7th and the subsequent war changed the kind of dynamic on the ground? You talked about some individuals, Jewish Israelis serving in the reserves and in the military. Has this changed the dynamic or the ability of people to work together in the last few months?
Yeah, it was really complicated in the beginning. I think the Bedouins, for the first time, I think everyone feel together. I mean, also in the 7th of October, there were murder, also Jewish and also Bedouins, and also kidnapped, and they're still hostages in Gaza, also Jewish and also Bedouin. I mean, everyone felt that also the Jewish and also the Bedouins, we are in the same destiny here. This was in the first place, and I think we still feel it. I mean, many Israelis now feel that the Bedouins are together. There were also a lot of very brave stories about Bedouins that try to save people in the 7th. I mean, all of those events help everyone to feel together. I think after the war continue and after what happened in Gaza Strip is now everyone can see what's going on there. It's make it more complicated because most of the Bedouins in the Negev, they have families and they have relatives in Gaza. So they are in a really a complicated situation. In the one hand, they were killed, they were kidnapped, and they're with Israel. In the other hand, they're really worried about what's going on in Gaza. So we are together in this situation. We talk about it together. We make a lot of talking inside the organization about what's going on, how is to feel like now as a Bedouin, as a Jewish. All these guys are together. The Jewish, like I said before, went to the army. The Bedouin are holding the places. I mean, it's really not easy, but we know that the main issue we have to do is what I said before. It's to do those activities, those leadership activities, and we have to talk and to listen and to watch every time about the main future together. This is the only way.
I guess, you know, situations like now would make it very, almost in a sense, more important for the kind of work to create a sense of belonging, because perhaps some might argue that when you don't have that, that's sometimes radicalism and incitement can come in places where people don't feel, you know, part of the society. Is that something that you would agree with?
So yeah, you ask about the Bedouins if they don't feel part of.
Yeah, that even over the last few months, when there could be feelings of anger, perhaps misplaced, that almost the need to make them feel integrated as part of Israeli society and having hope for their own futures is arguably perhaps more important. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, I think it's correct, but I think what we try to do is, like I said before, that say to our inside organization, also to all the society around us, that we are together here, and everyone will be here together, also the Jewish and also the Bedouins, and no one will go. We have to talk about the main future, to the shared future. We have to talk together. We have to take it hand by hand, although it's not easy, although it's really important. And this is what we try and we succeed to do. I mean, our alumni, our graduates, they feel part of this place. And even though they little bit, sometimes they angry not needed to be. Sometimes they're angry about the policy of the government. Also, I, as a Jew, I really don't like sometimes what the government did. But this is what we have, and we have to work together, and we have to look to the future. And this is why we try, and this is why we succeed to do.
Wonderful. Well, Ariel Wiesel, thank you so much for joining us today.
And that's today's edition of the Honest Report podcast. If you haven't done so yet, please subscribe to our mailing list, our podcast channel, and follow us on social media for the most up-to-date news. If you like what you've heard, please consider a donation to support our continued efforts at www.honestreporting.ca/donate. Until next time, thank you so much for listening.